All right, good evening, Grace Point. Father, we ask you to bless the teacher and the receivers, Lord, the hearers. Give us understanding, help us to flow. Help me not to be a distraction, Father. Just flow by the Holy Spirit and teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, we've been going through the book, Multiply. It's part of the Multiply Movement series. And if you look in the description under the YouTube, there's a link there that you can click on, and it should send you to Amazon if you want to buy the book. I think the book costs around $11. There's a small pocket size. It's okay. It's readable. But there's another size that's a little bigger and better. If you don't want to do that, you can go to the Multiply Movement website, multiplymovement.com, and print out the PDF. But I highly recommend you get the book and work through it. The other thing is on the Grace Point Community Church there. If you enjoy the podcast, like it, and then hit the subscribe button and go ahead and subscribe. So every Thursday night when these videos come out, they will automatically show up on your computer. Okay, let's get into part one, section two, the command to make disciples. Imagine this, and I've thought about this. Imagine this, you're one of the original 12, and you've been following Jesus around, this rabbi. He's been doing great miracles. The people received him in the city as the Messiah, and they actually were kind of worshiping him as the Messiah. And you've seen people raised from the dead, blind eyes open. You've been involved in it in yourself. And you're thinking that he's going to come and establish a kingdom, and instead, they just kill your mentor. They just killed this prophet. They just killed and murdered the Messiah. And these guys were confused, and they were hurt, and they were afraid. They were hiding out. And in their mind, they had failed, and Jesus had failed. And could you imagine being them and what might have been going through their mind for 3 days? I mean, this had to be incredible. They still really didn't understand their mission. In fact, even as late as like Acts chapter 10 and 15, they still had questions about their mission, what they were supposed to do. They were still defining the mission. But then it happened. After 3 days, this powerful prophet, the Messiah, this teacher, raises from the dead. And then things start to click. Yeah, didn't he say he was going to raise from the dead? Didn't he say, you know, like Jonah after 3 days? And they start putting one and two together. And now Jesus, their master, is standing right before them. How would that have affected those 12 young men? How would that have affected you to see him? You know, one of the greatest apologetics, one of the greatest evidences that Jesus rose from the dead. Do you know that 11 out of the 12 apostles were put to death for preaching the gospel or for their faith? I think Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas, I had been at the very place in India where Thomas was murdered by Indian Hindus, probably. They threw a spear in his back. I was right at that site where Thomas was murdered. They had all type of gruesome deaths, 11 of them. Do you think that those 11 young men would have died for a lie? Do you think they would have went out and preached the gospel? And get this, they didn't get rich. This was no Amway program, okay? They didn't get rich by going out and preaching Jesus. They made great sacrifices. Now, God met their needs, obviously. You can see that in the scriptures. But they all died. There's no evidence that they ever had fame or fortune. They weren't after fame and fortune. They had one burning desire, and that was to preach Jesus. That, to me, is one of the greatest evidences that Jesus really did raise from the dead. Would you give your whole life to a lie with no promise of fame or fortune, no money in it, no fame in it? I don't think you would. And even John, who was not martyred, they tried to boil him alive in oil. They just couldn't put him to death. That's Christian tradition. They even tried to kill John and they couldn't. And they banished him to the Isle of Patmos. It's amazing. All these guys that saw Jesus raised from the dead died for him. And they went out as they went out and preached the gospel. So I think that's just a great proof that this thing is real. You wouldn't die for a lie. Okay, so what did Jesus do? After he rose from the dead, he told them, listen, guys, I'm going to come back. And they said, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? He said, it's not for you to know. And when they said restore the kingdom, they meant the kingdom to Israel. That if he was going to come and reign in Israel, be the king like the Messiah, which will happen one day, by the way, are you going to do that now? And he said, no, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has put in his hands, but you guys are going to get power and you're going to be my witnesses. And I want you to go all over the world. In Matthew, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Let me ask you a question. Try to place yourself in the disciples' shoes as they witnessed these things and heard these words from Jesus. How do you think you would have reacted? How would you have reacted if you'd been one? You know what I'd have been thinking is like, I'd have been like, what? Like, what's this assignment? We're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're going to preach and everything that you taught us. It's like, how are we going to do that? Well, that's exactly what the apostles acted. And he said, well, you're going to get power because they knew they needed help. They knew they couldn't do it in their own steam and they knew they needed help. How do you think you would have reacted? Well, he gave him this great commission, told him to wait for power. Have you ever considered that maybe Jesus' command was meant for you? Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to write this down. Have you ever considered, ever thought that maybe Jesus' command was meant for you personally? Are you a follower of Jesus? If you say, yes, I am. Have you ever considered that this command was meant for you? We know that the early disciples and followers of Jesus, all of them, not just some of them, not just evangelists, all of them took this command to make disciples personally, and they went out and spread the gospel everywhere. So one of the things Jesus told them to do, he said, go and preach, teach, make disciples. He told them to go baptize people. Have you ever been, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever baptized anybody? Probably you haven't. Most time the pastors do it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord and they got baptized? Why not? Why? Maybe you did. Okay. Think about it. As a Christian, it should be our ambition to teach people about Jesus, to preach the gospel, see people get saved, and then see them take that first step to get baptized. Every one of us should have that desire in our heart. I remember one time I was in Virginia Beach. I was swimming in the ocean, and I met a guy right there in the ocean, and I preached the gospel to him. This is a true story. So I'm telling about Jesus. Him and I are in the water. We're about waist deep in the water. I preached the gospel. This guy accepted Jesus right there in the water. This was years ago. And I said, hey, you want to get baptized? True story. Guy goes, what's baptism? I explained baptism to him. He said, yeah, I'll get baptized. I remember laughing because it was funny. And so I said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, boom, I baptized the guy. Brought him out of the water. That was so cool. Just right there, lay him to the Lord in the water. I'm like, hey, here's water. Let's get baptized. And I encourage you, make it your goal to lead someone to the Lord and to see him get baptized. That's the part of the first command. I want you to assess your church experience personally. Think about it. In the light of Jesus' command to make disciples, would you say that your church is characterized by disciple making? Does your church make disciples, and not just the pastor, but do they encourage the people in the church to make disciples? Or is it just bring them to church and the pastor will get them saved? Or are you encouraged? Does your church encourage disciple making? Why or why not? Why do you say that? So what does disciple making look like? We're going to pick up there next week.